This is Nature Notes, our look at the natural world in West Texas, from the prairies of Llano Estacado to the borderlands of the Chihuahuan Desert. The Lower Pecos Canyonlands, where the Pecos and Devil's Rivers join the Rio Grande, contain globally significant rock art. Hundreds of intricate murals, some hundreds of feet long, are painted on cave walls here. And, as scientists at the Shumla Archaeological Research and Education Center have discovered, this distinctive pictograph style was created for more than 4,000 years, from about 3,500 BCE to 900 CE. But these same shallow caves have preserved much else from prehistory. Bits of tools and textiles, plant and animal remains, and these materials shed light on the daily lives of those who created the monumental paintings. From Marfa Public Radio and the Sibley Nature Center in Midland, this is Nature Notes. I'm Dallas Baxter.
It's probably several lifetimes of archaeology still to be done out there. What we do know is which plants were the most important to them in terms of living off the land.
That's Dr. Phil Daring, an archaeologist specializing in plant remains, or paleoethnobotany. Daring and his colleagues have analyzed tiny seeds, charred food remains, and fibers in nets and sandals. They found that, among plants, there was a big three for the people of the Lower Pecos. First, there were the desert rosettes, lechuguilla, sotal, and yucca. In earth ovens, the Canyonlands people slow-roasted the hearts of these plants to render them edible. And archaeologists have found turtleback scrapers used to separate fibers from the leaves. Lechuguilla was especially key.
I used to call it the bison or buffalo of the Lower Pecos because it was so important. They made implements from it. They made netting from it. They made sandals from it. They ate the heart. They fished with it. They made twine with it.
The other two main plants were prickly pear cactus and mesquite. Prickly pear seeds are calorie-rich, and mesquite beans were pulverized into a nourishing flour. In painting murals high on cave walls, the creators likely built scaffolding from sotal stalks, and plants were used in applying the paint as well.
We suspect that some of the finer work done in the murals was done by not just animal hair brushes, but by yucca fiber brushes. It's a smaller fiber, it's more gracile, it works really well.
Deer are depicted in rock art here, but smaller game was the staple. The caves have yielded a variety of traps, likely used to catch rodents. Archaic nomads probably depleted such ground meat quickly and then traveled on.
If you're a farmer, you're stuck there and you have to increase the number of calories you can get out of your plot. But if you're a forager, you just move on and let the plot replenish itself.
3,200 years ago, the climate grew wetter and bison arrived. New spear points also appeared. It's uncertain whether Lower Pecos people embraced this bison hunting technology or if northern bison hunters moved in, pushing the existing population south. Regardless, Pecos River-style rock art endured through these times.
Was there a revival or was there simply a continuation of it? But the idea, either way, is that it persisted through a pretty obvious environmental and cultural disruption.
With their complex imagery, the Pecos murals remind us that these hunter-gatherers lived with myth and meaning. That extended to desert plants.
It's so much more than just going out and grabbing a bunch of agave crowns and throwing them into an earth oven. All the plants and animals were charged and imbued with agency and meaning.
Daring says archaeologists have only scratched the surface here. These West Texas canyons have more secrets to share. This episode was written by Andrew Stewart. I'm Dallas Baxter. Thanks for listening.